Hello, and welcome to Seikahan. Today, 81 years after Hiroshima, nuclear arsenals are about to grow again, and what, if anything, humanity has learned. On August 6, 2026, Hiroshima held its peace memorial ceremony with representatives from a record 121 countries and regions. It marked 81 years since the atomic bombing. The mayor warned that a world without nuclear weapons keeps receding. Prime Minister Sanae Takaichi reaffirmed Japan's three non-nuclear principles: not possessing, not producing, and not permitting the introduction of nuclear weapons. Meanwhile, roughly 12,000 nuclear warheads still exist worldwide. And that number may soon start growing again. Here are the three questions for today. First, 81 years on, why are nuclear arsenals starting to grow again? Second, has nuclear deterrence actually prevented war? And third, what can Japan, the only country ever attacked with nuclear weapons, actually do? We will come back to all three questions with answers at the end. Let's start in 1945. August 6, 1945. 8:15 in the morning. The atomic bomb dropped by the U.S. military detonated about 600 meters above Hiroshima. Ground temperatures near the hypocenter are estimated to have reached 3 to 4,000 degrees Celsius. An estimated 140,000 people had died by the end of that year. But the city of Hiroshima officially states that the exact number is still unknown. Entire families died with no one left to follow the records. And the victims were not only Japanese, people from the Korean Peninsula and Taiwan, and American prisoners of war were also in the city. Why was Hiroshima chosen? The city hosted an army headquarters and was a logistics hub, sending troops and supplies to the continent. At the same time, what was actually destroyed was not just military facilities, but the entire city. Residents included mobilized students, women and children among them. And cities that had not yet been heavily bombed were reportedly kept as candidates, because an undamaged city would show the new weapon's power most accurately. Pull out only one of these threads, and the nature of that day becomes hard to see. How the bomb figured in Japan's surrender is still debated 81 years later. On July 26th, the Allies issued the Potsdam Declaration. On August 6th, the bomb was dropped on Hiroshima. On August 8th, the Soviet Union declared war on Japan, invading Manchuria the next day, the same day as the Nagasaki bombing. And on August 15th, Japan announced its acceptance of the Potsdam Declaration. In the United States, the long-shared explanation is that the bombs made a bloody invasion of the home islands unnecessary. Other historians weigh the Soviet entry more heavily, and recent work often describes multiple shocks landing in quick succession. This video will not pick one of these as the conclusion. Now, where the world stands 81 years later. By the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute's count, 9 countries held about 12,200 warheads as of January 2026. Russia and the United States together hold about 90% of them. China, in third place, is expanding its arsenal. The total is still falling, but mainly because the U.S. and Russia are dismantling warheads already retired from service. The number of usable warheads is not declining, and the total may soon start rising again. 2 treaties have framed the nuclear order. One is the Non-Proliferation Treaty, the NPT, in force since 1970, with 191 members. It allows 5 states to possess nuclear weapons and obliges them to negotiate disarmament in return. The other is the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, in force since 2021. It bans everything from development to threats of use, but no nuclear-armed state has joined it. Neither has Japan. And this year, the U.S.-Russia New START Treaty expired with no successor, while the NPT Review Conference collapsed for the third time running. Arms control has entered a gap period. Before going further, 2 terms. Nuclear deterrence means discouraging attack by showing the capacity to retaliate. When the United States extends that protection to its allies, it is called extended deterrence, the nuclear umbrella, as seen from underneath. Japan holds no nuclear weapons of its own and entrusts part of its security to that umbrella. Now, how Reddit reacted. Two American threads today. The first asks, how does the world outside the United States view the atomic bombings? There, the dominant view treats the bombings as a necessary evil that avoided a land invasion. Head-on criticism is a minority. The second is a debate thread, arguing that no country should be allowed nuclear weapons, and the rebuttals dominate. One caveat, forum threads attract disagreement by design, so these ratios are not a measure of public opinion. First, the view that places the bomb inside the whole war. Ethically, one user writes, the Tokyo firebombing may have been worse. Attacks on civilians, others note, were treated completely differently in that era, from London to Dresden to Tokyo. Second, the comparison with the alternatives. A blockade would have ended it. But across Asia, enormous numbers of civilians were dying every month the war continued. An invasion, the argument runs, would have cost even more lives. That calculation is the core of the justification case. And a view from Korea. The same date is a day of liberation from colonial rule on one side and a day of mourning on the other. Many Koreans, brought over as forced laborers, died in the two bombings. In the modern debate thread, the top argument is game theory. Nuclear weapons are a textbook prisoner's dilemma. If both sides disarm, the danger disappears, but disarming alone is the worst outcome for you. So nobody disarms. Next, Ukraine as the lesson. Russia taught the world never to give up nuclear weapons, even unusable ones. And the other side answers, deterrence may have reduced the number of wars at the price of introducing a real, ongoing chance of global annihilation. There have been repeated near launches on false information, the commenter adds. Now, the analysis. Starting with question one, why are arsenals growing again? At the Soviet collapse, Ukraine held the world's third largest stockpile and gave it up in 1994. In exchange for security assurances from the US, the UK, and Russia. In 2022, it was invaded by one of those guarantors. From there, a story spread. Give up nuclear weapons, and you are vulnerable. Keep them, and you are safe. Strictly speaking, Ukraine never held launch authority over those warheads, and the assurances were not legally binding. The story is an oversimplification. But simplified stories carry real weight. North Korea has declared its arsenal irreversible and permanent, and South Korea has reportedly dropped denuclearization as its top priority. Question 2. Has deterrence prevented war? Since 1945, no two nuclear-armed major powers have fought a full-scale war. Deterrence theory reads that as mutually assured destruction working. But alliances, conventional forces, and economic ties were at work too, so the credit is contested. Abolitionists read the same history as a string of near misses survived by luck, false alarms where a human on the ground chose not to launch. What deterrence clearly has not prevented, proxy wars, limited clashes like India and Pakistan, and in Ukraine, nuclear threats becoming routine. Deterrence looks like it is working right up until it fails. And an undefeated record is not a guarantee. Question 3. What can Japan do? Japan's position is less a contradiction than two obligations carried at once, abolition as the long-term goal and security in the meantime. Facing China's buildup and North Korea, the government says it cannot let go of American extended deterrence. On the other hand, not even attending the banned treaty meetings as an observer is getting harder to explain, especially since Nihon Hidankyo, the survivors organization, won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2024. Germany and Norway, under the same American umbrella, have attended as observers without joining. So the choice is not join or betray, it is where Japan spends its voice, as the only country ever attacked. And before the binary of abolition versus status quo, there is a gap to fill. This year, New START expired with no successor, and the NPT review conference failed for the third consecutive time. Realistic steps remain available in between. Rebuild crisis hotlines, lower alert levels, and agree to keep artificial intelligence out of nuclear launch decisions. Every one of these reduces the risk of accident and miscalculation, even from a pro-deterrence standpoint. Let's close. Deterrence is a system that looks like it is working, right up until the moment it fails. And the first failure would mean damage on a civilizational scale, not the scale of a single city. Hiroshima and Nagasaki are the only two places where humanity has seen what a nuclear weapon does to a city. Back to the three questions. Why are arsenals growing? Because the diverging fates of countries that disarmed, and countries that didn't, spread the belief that nuclear weapons are the ultimate insurance, an oversimplified story, but a powerful one. Has deterrence prevented war? No full-scale war between nuclear powers, but the credit is contested, and what is certain is that the record guarantees nothing. What can Japan do? The choice is not a binary. There are steps that fill the arms control gap, and a decision about where to spend its voice. The average age of the survivors has passed 86. The people who can tell the world what happened are leaving us. The full article has the debate over the bombing, the arsenal numbers, and the complete Reddit threads, link in the description. Thanks for watching.